She had $1 million worth of nickels and dimes. She sat around and counted them all.
All right, we're ready to begin the meeting of the Public Engagement Commission of the City of Goleta for Thursday, August 19th, 2021. We should begin with call to order and the Pledge of Allegiance. I'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands.
The Republic will hit the fence.
One nation under God.
Indivisible.
With liberty
and justice for all.
Thank you. Can we do a roll call of the Public Engagement Commission?
Yes, good evening, everyone. I will do the roll call now. Commissioner Massey?
Here.
Commissioner Schneider?
Here.
Commissioner Uribe?
Here.
Commissioner Ibarra?
Here.
Youth Commissioner Mannion?
Here.
Vice Chair Bliss?
Here.
And Chair Paz?
Here.
All right, and Chair Paz, there are no other attendees besides the commission and staff, so at this time we do not have any public comment.
All right, so we'll go ahead and jump right into the agenda, which is the first item is item A1, Community Outreach Annual Update. I'm going to turn it over to Kelly Hoover. Go ahead, Ms. Hoover.
Good evening, Chair Paz, and good evening, Public Engagement Commissioners. It's so good to see you all tonight. And I am excited to share with you what the last year has looked like for our community outreach. This has definitely been a year like no other. The fiscal year 2021 was a full year of COVID. So with that came probably more outreach than we've ever done. But also, it was an interesting dynamic because more people were at home, obviously, on their computers. There was more, everyone was hungry for information. So we saw a really significant increase in the number of people following on all of our outreach channels, which you will see. Part of that, we believe, is due to just the amount of information that we're putting out there, which has made a huge difference, but also the fact that we were in interesting times where, you know, you really can't fathom how much of an impact that had as well on the outreach. So with that, I will begin the presentation and I will share my screen. Excuse me, hold on 1 second. Sorry. Not
Kelly, we can see your screen. Okay. I think you just to go to slideshow at the top, and there should be next to home. Yeah, and then here we're beginning.
Okay, thank you, Jamie. So, to begin with, we're going to start with introductions, as if you need them at this point. But here is your community relations outreach team, myself. Kelly Hoover and my amazing colleague, Community Relations Assistant, Jamie Shaw. Together, we are committed to making sure that our community is informed in a timely manner and that they know what's happening in the city of Goleta. So here are our goals. Timely information, keeping the community informed, making information relatable and easy to understand, which with the city is really important because so much of what goes on can be complicated. And so it's really been challenging and also fun to make sure that we are sending out information in a way that's easy for people to understand, especially considering how busy people are and how much information is coming at them. So this is, I would say point number two is probably one of the most critical parts of what we do. Of course, bullet number three, to increase awareness, make sure that people know what is happening, that they're not surprised by information, that they feel informed and like they know what's going on. And another huge part is to increase community engagement, to get more people involved in what's happening with the city, which I know is a huge mission of this group. Our Public Engagement Commission is this very point right here. And we really appreciate all of you for that. And then building relationships and fostering partnerships is also critical. And then one of the best and most fun parts of the job, showcasing city staff and our community and really celebrating this great place that we live and just what a wonderful, caring and conscientious community that we have here in Goleta. So how do we reach people? Well, this is just a example right here of all the different ways we do outreach. You can read it for yourself, but quickly, just, you know, our website, Instagram, posters, flyers, Facebook, press releases, Gov Delivery, which is text and email, our Monarch Press online and print newsletter. We've got Channel 19, Nextdoor. We have videos, YouTube channel, phone notifications, public workshops, and Twitter. And those are just off the top of our head. So our mission is to, we know people communicate all different ways, and we want to reach people any way that they communicate. So we really work hard to put our outreach on all of our channels to make sure we're reaching as many people as we can. So here's what it looks like. This is mind-blowing. It almost doesn't seem real, and we've actually fact-checked it a couple times just to make sure this was accurate. But if you look at our website, in fiscal year 2021, we had 1,217,546 users that came to our website. That is up, dramatically since the prior year when we had 141,850. So you may say, why did this happen? We think a lot of that was due to COVID and just the number of people that were on their computers. We can't even give credit to one page in particular. Really, every page saw more views on the city website. So in terms of page views, you can see we had 1,500 in fiscal year 2021, which was up, triple from the year prior. The top five pages, city homepage, the Goleta Valley Library, and they kept people busy at home with all of the programming they did online, which we saw a significant increase in those views. The Goleta Butterfly Grove, even though we don't have the butterflies there that we want, it still continues to be a popular site. And COVID-19, obviously, and applying for permits. They're just interesting. For press releases, I am a firm believer in press releases. Jamie knows this about me, and now she's on board with sending out so many that we do. But really, it is a great way to get information out to the public. It's been great for city updates and projects and COVID-19 news and information to let people know about council agenda summaries and meeting follow-up awards. Really, for us, it puts our stamp on whatever we're doing. We're able to really look at the outreach and make sure that we've got everything explained in an easy to read, factual way. We can put quotes in there. We can put photos in there. It goes to the media. And in that way, it's assured that, you know, people can pick up the paper or watch the news, and it has a much higher chance of making the news if we do a press release. So we really believe in doing those. We send it to the city's media list and through all of our communication channels. Social media. This is an area, and I think we talked about this last year, if you recall. We have seen an increase in our social media, but not as much as we would like. So we are always looking at ways to increase our social media following. And for Facebook, last year we had 5,327 followers, which was up, slightly from the year prior. So we do put a lot of information on Facebook. We have 1,234 posts this past year, so more than what we did the year prior. But I think it's just not a huge following for us. It's kind of, we have our steady followers. So we'll be looking to see what we can do to grow that, that following. For Twitter, kind of the same thing. We have 3,628 followers, which was up from the year prior. So we are seeing an increase. We had 1,704 tweets and retweets versus 956 the year before. And with Instagram, we have 1,700 followers, which was up from 1,400 the year prior, but still very slow growth there. Next door is, we're seeing a growth there. We have 9,729 members, so up about 1,000 from the year prior. And a lot of more posts, 744 posts as opposed to 418 the year prior. You'll see a huge, tremendous growth with YouTube. We had 34 videos we did last year as opposed to 18 the year prior. So videos have been really what we focused on, and congratulations on the video you all just did. I thought it was great with our Public Engagement Commission. So we are very proud to have that out in the public. Gov Delivery, that is our email and text notification system, which is really important for the city. So people get information directly delivered to them on versus email or text or both. Some people want both or one or the other. We have 37,696 subscribers, and that is up from 22,984. And we're not talking about library, which has a huge following as well. So we have grown tremendously with people who want to see text or email from the city, which is really good news. We've also seen our Spanish engagement increase by about 100. We have 878 as opposed to 727 the year before. And if you want to see how much outreach we're doing, we had 1,254 bulletins sent out as opposed to half of that the year prior, 679. We had 2,540,000 impressions. That's people clicking on our bulletins. And of those, 72% remained engaged and actually opened the email, not just clicked it on, but actually read it. So we are proud of all the information we're sending out and the increase in following that we've seen. Our monthly e-newsletter, we typically do 10 issues a year of the Monarch Press. Because there was so much going on, we didn't want to take any months off. So we did 11 issues and just did a combined winter holiday one. We have 4,224 subscribers that received the newsletter each month. That's an increase from the year prior. And we have 59 people who still would like to receive a hard copy mailed to them, which we are happy to do. And so we've definitely seen a lot of increases there, and also in the articles that we're putting out, it's definitely grown as well. Of course, the Monarch Press doesn't just go to those who are signed up for it. It goes on all of our communication channels, and it goes to the media as well. Blackboard is our phone notification system. And we try not to use it very often unless we really need to, because I don't know if you all are experiencing the same thing I am, but I have two phones and both of them ring all day long with telemarketers, scammers. So we don't want to be another phone call coming to people unless it's really important. And we want to make sure that people are getting information directly from the city via the phone. We did two phone calls this past year. One was for the last day of the census, and the other one was for the state of the city. But other than that, we haven't sent out any other phone calls, and that really will be our practice, because we do believe it's invasive to get phone calls unless we really, really need to communicate. We want to reserve those for those moments. So here is a wrap up right here. So this really is something to be proud of. We went from, if you look back to 2018, we went from 13,000 to 22,000, almost 23,000 gov delivery. So that's text and email. In terms of the information we sent, 380 bulletins in 2018-19, and we're up to 1,200. Then our website users is mind-baffling. We went from 113,000 back in 2018-19 to over 1 million. This is interesting to show that people are really getting information from us via the website, our home City of Goleta website. Almost all of our users are going to our website. That's 94%. And then this is really eye-opening as well. If you look at our mobile traffic, so people accessing us on their mobile phone, that is really down. It's at down to 5%. So most everyone is going to the website to reach us. And that is something we hope to change. The city is in the process of doing a website revamp. And a huge part of that is going to be making our website mobile friendly. So right now, if you access the website on your phone, it isn't very user friendly. So that will change here, hopefully very soon. So we should see this change next year. In terms of press releases, I told you how much we love them. We went from 28 in 2018 to 183 in 2021. And Monarch Press articles, we went from 117 articles to 303. So that was a dramatic increase. And then Facebook followers, we talked about this, just up about 1,000 from 2018. And our posts, it's not to lack of posting. We've posted 1,200 times in the past year. And Twitter followers went up slightly by about 1,000 in the past year. So we're gaining about 500 a year, it looks like. And for tweets, we have a slow increase there. We're up to 1,000 tweets this past year. So we are increasing what we're posting. And Instagram followers, we have 1,700. We didn't even have Instagram 2 years ago, so I guess we should be pleased with that, but we want to grow that more. And we are not posting a ton on Instagram because it really is all about photos. So we'll probably look to do some type of a photo campaign in the future to boost our Instagram following, which I think is really an important group to reach. Next door bulletins, we had 744 this past year as opposed to 100 2 years prior. So I know that was a lot of numbers coming at you. I will stop sharing my screen. And can you see me again? Okay, great. So I know that was a lot to digest, but I think it's just exciting to see how much information we're putting out there, how much we've increased in terms of our following and public engagement. So we're very proud of that. And, you know, we hope to just see this continue in the future. Even hopefully when things get back to normal, we will still continue to put out a lot of information to our community and to see our numbers increase over time, especially in regards to social media too. Any questions anyone have?
Yeah. Any questions? Miss Bliss, go ahead.
Hey. I have three questions, but I'll just give them all to you because they're all like related. So the first one is, do you set like quantitative goals around any of these things at like the start of the year? So are you like aspiring for certain numbers across each of those modes of outreach? And then my second two questions would be like, what are you most proud of in those metrics? And then what are you maybe disappointed by, or like want to focus more efforts or want to see get better?
Great question. Thank you, Commissioner Bliss. I would say what we're most proud of is the feedback we get that people feel very informed and they feel that they know what's happening. We get a lot of compliments there, and that's just kind of word of mouth and emails that we get from the public. So I'm proud to see how much information we're putting out there. That makes me proud. Mm-hmm. But, and we do set goals. We have every year we look and kind of predict what we can realistically achieve and also what we would like to see. And I would say the disappointing part would just be the social media aspect, because we're putting tons of information out there, but I just don't know, part of it is just a city isn't, you know, people follow a city more, I think, on Nextdoor. And, you know, if they want to follow, they get the text or emails delivered to them. They're not necessarily as much on social media for city news. So we don't take it too hard. We just would love to maybe, you know, look at how we can tailor what we're sending out a little bit more for social media. So it's just a goal of Jamie and I. You know, we want to see that grow, and we know we're putting out a lot of information. So we would love to, you know, see those numbers go up too.
Cool. Thank you.
Sorry. Miss Weaver, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm listening exactly to what you're saying about the social media, and I have a suggestion, if you allow me to say it, is that maybe including more social life to the government website would be a good thing. Like, you guys did a wonderful, as the city, a wonderful recognition to me yesterday, but I wonder if other people would enjoy that too, you know, so highlighting people in the community, business owners or what have you, you know, and include that in the website too. So not only the social part, but also the website. So to work together in many ways, you know, so that's a suggestion.
Yeah, and thank you, Commissioner Uribe. And I think part of it, too, is it's really an art, social media. You have to know how to tag, you know, what hashtags to use and how to get people to retweet and bring in other groups. So really, it's a whole art form that we don't claim to be experts at. But Jamie and I definitely care about it and want to see that grow, because we're doing a great job of being in the press too. If you watch the news, if you read the Glita's in there all of the time, and so that means not only the wider community is also seeing what's happening in Goleta, so we're very proud of that. We just need to mix up our social media a bit.
Any other questions? Folks on the call? Well, I see Ms. Schneider and Ms. Bliss, but I want to check people on the call. Anyone?
I don't have any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's go to Ms. Schneider, and then we'll go to Ms. Bliss.
Trish Leah, I think you're doing a remarkable job getting out the news. I mean, I know people who live in Santa Barbara who say, oh, in Goleta, you're doing all of this, and they have a long list of things that are happening in Goleta in a way that they exclaim about. So that's not Facebook, but it is through all the other venues that you're using, including the press releases. I am curious about whether or not you have any, what shall I say, comparative data of a city our size, and given that people often go to government for certain kinds of things, certain kinds of announcements for emergencies, for permits, whether or not we are getting exactly what a city of our size would be getting. In other words, I appreciate the wish to grow on social media, but I would love to know how you're setting the goals relative to what is a reasonable expectation for a well-performing city our size. And I know that may be hard to find that data, but it might be worth just checking it out if you know something about that. If you've seen that other cities doing certain kinds of work that makes sense to you, that you would like to have done on social media, that you aren't already doing. I'm all in favor of the communication, but I'm also in favor of knowing that goals should be set relative to a certain set of expectations about what you can reasonably expect to do. So,
Thank you, Commissioner Schneider. That's a great point. We do, especially if I get a spare moment, I love looking at what other cities are doing and seeing if we can not copy, but emulate ones that we admire and take from them. And I do have to say that what we are doing is pretty special. We are doing a lot. And part of that is, and I've said this to you all before, I've just been blown away in my 2 years here at the city at how much work is being done. And there are not enough hours in the day to tell everyone about them. It's right. Mind-boggling. I'm very proud of, mm-hmm. of everything being done here. And I want the community to know. And I want them to be able to understand it. So it's been a lot of fun, a great challenge. And I could not do any of this without Jamie Shaw, because she and I are a great team, and we work, we probably talk 100 times a day, maybe more than that. We spend most of our time talking, and she's just an exceptional human being and a great teammate, and together we get it done. So I really want to acknowledge Jamie Shaw in all this.
Thank you. Ms. Bliss, go ahead.
Not that relevant, but just adding on to Sylvia's comments, I do think you have the challenge of not being a person and being, you know, an entity that people look to for specific needs or specific mm-hmm. moments when they need information. So like keeping the engagement alive, I think, is like the challenge, because you're not a single human. But I love the idea of like humanizing the office and also doing some of the like Goleta proud things or like favorite parts of Goleta or whatever to like bring the community together, even when there's not like a crisis or, you know, specific detailed information to be shared. So that was just my follow-up comment to Sylvia's comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Bliss. And I do love all the videos we're doing. That I'm very proud of too. I think it's really nice to see the different faces that make up the city and make up, you know, our Public Engagement Commission. So I'm really enjoying finding ways to show off all the different subject matter specialists here at the city, and just showcase all the great work being done.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment really quickly. I'm very proud of being associated with the work that you do. Not claiming the work that you do, because you do it, but very proud to know that our city is doing such good work, and it really is special. I mean, I did read the article about Sylvia, and I thought that was really good. It humanized the work that we do, so I was very proud of seeing that. But I think the work that you're doing is phenomenal, and I think it really represents our city well, and both you and Jamie have done a phenomenal job in terms of that. And I think it's something that we should be proud of that, that it does bring attention to the work that the city, the good work the city is doing, and it puts it in really good light. So I think there's a lot of good in the work that you're doing and the numbers that show it. It may not be perfect, you know, but it's really good.
Can I speak up and put my two cents worth in?
Yes, go ahead, Ms. Ness.
I just wanted, as you know, I'm a fan of both Kelly and Jamie, and I've thought they've done a great job all along. I think something that's been fairly recent that really impresses me, and I think it shows how we're accomplishing things, is that the recaps of the council meetings with just a little bit about what has happened gives people the impression, rightfully so, that we are actually accomplishing something. We aren't just holding city meetings and nothing happens. This is what, you know, is the result. It isn't the final result, but at least it gives them an indication that it isn't just a group that meets and pays no attention to them and moves on. It's somebody who is actually caring about them. So it helps the council, it helps the city, and I really appreciate that added feature. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Massey. We are so excited about those as well. You know, every week or every 2 weeks when we do them, we're like, oh yes, we got to get this done. But it's really nice to hear that it's making a difference, because I think it focuses us as well, that we go, oh wow, they're going to be talking about these items, and start explaining them. So it is helpful to us as well doing them. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions, commissioners? not, I just want to thank you again for the work and the presentation. And if we are ready, yes, it's a good.
Thank you.
Yes. We can move to item B1, approval of the Public Engagement Commission meeting minutes for April 22nd, 2020. Does anyone want to make the motion to approve the minutes?
I also move.
Thank you, Ms. Messon. All right, we have a motion and a second. I think we do need a roll call for this, so let's go ahead and do a roll call.
Yes. Hi, everyone. I just will go really quick and add, thank you guys so much for the nice feedback you gave us. And Ms. Kelly's been an amazing person to work with. And I'm so impressed with all her wonderful ideas that definitely keep us busy. So now getting back to the roll call vote, Commissioner Massey?
Yes.
Commissioner Schneider? Oh, Commissioner Schneider?
Sorry, yes.
Oh, that's okay. Commissioner Uribe?
Yes.
Commissioner Ibarra?
Aye.
Youth Commissioner Mannion?
Yes.
Vice Chair Bliss?
Yes.
And Chair Paz?
Yes.
Great, thank you. And there's still no one on the line to add any public comment at this time.
Thank you. All right, let's go ahead and move to item C1. It's an update on the district election process to date, the remaining process and timeline. So we'll go ahead and turn it over to staff. I believe Ms. Schmidt is joining us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Paz and commission members. I'm Christy Schmidt. I'm the assistant city manager. And the purpose of the meeting today is just to touch base with you on the districting process and timeline so far, and what's left in our process, and also just to get your feedback on how things have been going and ideas about how we might, continue to engage the community in this process. So that's our purpose here today. Deborah Lopez, who's our city clerk and is, just been great through this whole process. She could not be here tonight, so she asked me to assume this for her. If you have any questions for her specifically, I can be sure to get those back to her. So as you'll remember, we kicked off the process formally. We'd done a few updates, way back in 2019, but we really kicked off in 2020. We kicked off the process for real on February 17th of 2021. Sort of gave the project timeline and outline. And then on April, we came back to provide for you to provide us input on a stakeholder outreach list, remember that? And on a preliminary media outreach list, the media venues that we ought to be using, potential venues for in-person workshops and meetings, and also to help to start to identify the communities of interest. So you provided us some information there. We then went into a series of three public workshops. And I know many of you attended one or more of those workshops, and we really do appreciate that. The first one was held on June 7th, that was held virtually. We had another workshop on June 26th, and that one we were able to get finally in person. COVID was starting to loosen up a little bit, and we had that at the Goleta School Board room. And then we had the third workshop just on August 2nd. And again, things were starting with the Delta variant. We're starting to look a little scary. So we moved it outdoors, and I thought that staff were incredibly creative with that. And it went really well, I think. And just the way that they pivoted in a matter of days to get tents up and get an outdoor screen and really set everything up for that workshop, I thought was very, very good. And in all of these, National Demographics Corporation went over all of the requirements for drawing districts and what communities of interest are, and then what tools were available and were going to, in the case of the first workshop, were going to become available for people to draw maps. So throughout the process, we've been doing other things sort of on the back end. We did launch a drawgalita.org website and have gradually gotten all of the tools up. I think by mid-July, all of the map drawing options were up. We also, you worked with Kelly Hoover to get a message up and running, which I thought we played at the city council meeting on Tuesday night. And it, I think it came out great. And it's going to be running on all of our media channels through the deadline for drawing maps, so through January. So you're going to see a lot of that messaging. Kelly's also shot a new video featuring Dr. Phillips walking through exactly how to use that District R tool to draw communities of interest or district maps. So we're finalizing that. We're going to put that up, but I think it's really good. It's got all of the polish that Kelly puts on things for that video. So one thing we did want to highlight is that the tools we're using now, because of the delay of the census, we're using estimated population numbers. We've gotten an initial count from the federal government, from the census, that shows our population actually growing from those estimates. So when we get the final numbers from the state in September, it's likely that the population will be bigger than in the estimated numbers for the tool. So people may need to go in and adjust the borders of their maps at that point, but they'll be able to do that or create new maps and submit new maps or both. And National Demographics Corporation will be reaching out to anyone who's already submitted a map. And I just looked online and we already have 15 maps submitted. And another, which I think we got 30 total in Santa Barbara. So 15 at this point in the process is great. And I never knew you could divide the city up so many different ways. It's really great to see that happening. And then there are another 11 that are in process. So we're already bumping up against, you know, the number of maps they had in Santa Barbara. And we still have 4 months to go. So really happy about that. That's, we're getting those maps. So that's great. We did have a public hearing, the second required public hearing, formal public hearing on Tuesday night with the city council, went through everything with them. We didn't get a whole lot of people participating, at least not nobody who gave comment, but we were able to bring in many of the comments that we'd heard from you and that we'd heard from the NDC's ideas, and we were able to bring in what we heard at the workshops. So I think we had a lot of content to talk to the city council with, and they had some great ideas as well. So they did approve a list of communities of interest, and that list is flexible. So it can be changed if we get down the line and we decide that we missed some things. So please keep in mind that if you look at that, we'll be posting the communities of interest list on the website for people to use and refer to as they draw their maps. But if you see that and you go, you know, we really forgot to add, you know, X, Y, or Z community of interest, please send those to Deborah Lopez because we can still amend that list. But it'll be there for people as they're drawing their list to think about. And then it'll also be there for you as we get to the end of this process. And in January, we're going to be asking you to look at all the maps and kind of give council your recommendations related to maps and any input that you have on the maps that have been submitted. So you'll be able to refer to the list then as well. So the rest of the process really will be... that we're going to have a fourth workshop. You'll remember the August workshop was supposed to be the last one, but we decided to add an additional one so that we'd have one after the final census numbers came out and a little bit closer to the deadline. So we're going to do that at your regular meeting on October 21st. So you'll be hosting that. It'll be just like the prior workshops where we'll give people the opportunity to come in, to hear how to draw maps, hear the requirements for drawing maps, and then we'll have hopefully, you know, COVID permitting, we'll have the opportunity for people to stay and either draw a map on paper or with their laptop, get some help using the tools. So that'll be on October 21st. We have a meeting scheduled for you on December 9th. That's just your regular meeting. We're going to keep that. With the idea that, you know, we may have things that we want to talk about. We don't have an agenda for that yet, but we anticipate we will as we get closer. And then on January 6th is the final date for people to submit their maps. January 24th, all of those maps, you can see the maps that have been submitted now. But on January 24th, we'll do sort of the final publishing of all of the maps that have come in. And then we'll, on January 26th, we're going to come to you and have you give us your input and or recommendations to the City Council with regard to the maps. And then we will go to the City Council on February 1st. That'll be the third formal public hearing. And they will consider your input and recommendations and begin talking about selecting a map. And then February 15th will be the fourth and required public hearing. And at that point, the City Council can adopt a map if they're ready to do that. And if not, then we can go, I think, one additional meeting from there that they could do. So that's the process going forward and an overview. And so with that, I would just open it up to you for questions or thoughts about, you know, what are you hearing? Are people engaged? Are there ways we could better engage people? Are you seeing the media that we're putting out? What are your thoughts? Thank you.
Questions, commissioners? Please raise your hand if you have a question. Or if you're on the phone, go ahead and pipe in right now. It'd be great. No. Well, I do have a question. And it's more feedback. Yes, I have seen the media coverage on NewsHawk. My workplace actually reposted or posted that the City of Goleta was doing redistricting. So that was through the Santa Barbara Foundation social media accounts that we have. And so I am seeing it out and about. I think given that we're still kind of in a pandemic state, I think that has impeded people's sort of ability to kind of get into it as much. But it's really reassuring to know that we have 15 maps that have already been submitted. That's great news. I was going to ask that same question, but you already sort of beat me to the punch, so to speak. I guess my question at this point in time would be, if we have that last meeting post that, will the public have any opportunities to kind of do a map at that point in time? Did I miss that part in terms of the ability of submitting something past that last meeting day?
Yes. So the final workshop will be on October 21st and maps are not due until January 6th.
Gotcha. Okay.
So there's plenty of time after that workshop to continue to draw maps.
Great.
I'd like to speak up at this point. I finally thought of something I was interested in saying. The things I've found about when I've mentioned districting to people is they said, yeah, I care about it, but I'm waiting till the real numbers are out. I don't have time to waste working on it with fake numbers. And so I think it'll take us getting the numbers from the state. Then I think we need to do a really heavy week, maybe, of just driving them crazy with the fact that we now only have so many, or we have increased it so many. And here's your chance to decide what group of people you want to be. You know, I don't know. I'm not good at that. Public relations is not my main thing. But I think it's just everybody is busy with their own stuff with COVID, and they're waiting till they think they can really make a difference. Now they think they're just playing games and it isn't as important.
That's great feedback. And I can see Kelly's, she's nodding like she thinks she'd already got ideas. She already has ideas about when those numbers come out and ways to use that, the opportunity that that provides to do some more outreach. And, you know, I think people, I can see where people would think that. Of course, you can save your maps and then adjust the boundaries later. So I don't think it's a reason not to play around with them now. But I can see where someone might want to wait until those numbers actually come out. So I think that's a good idea to do a particular push once those numbers come out from the state.
I know Kelly can do a good job.
Maybe Ms. Schmidt, something we want to relay to the community is that people could start their maps and then readjust once we get the numbers. That might be just exactly what you just said. It would be a good thing to put out. I see Ms. Schneider's hand up, so go ahead, Ms. Schneider.
Right. This is a process question. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking about what you said about January. January 6th is the last day to submit. And on the 26th, this commission is supposed to give our recommendations to the council. Are we going to get any kind of briefing?
Or yes.
Maybe I should put this more strongly. If we're staring out at 30 maps on January 6th, is our commission going to get any briefing about how best to consider these maps? Because otherwise this meeting that we're going to have on the 26th is going to be way full of confusion and go on for many, many, many hours if we have no sort of markers or ways to think about, okay, now we have 30 maps, how should we approach our assessment of them? And I'm thinking that the demographers must have some experience with the process itself, because if we're going to make a recommendation to city council, and it's conceivable that the public actually does come to that meeting, even if they haven't done anything up to that point, that's a lot of confusing material in one meeting. So the more we have an opportunity to think about, we have 20 days between the 6th and the 26th for us to think about what's out there and any guidelines I think we could have about how best to think about what's out there, what's been submitted to us, would be really useful. So I'm just talking about here some sort of either known or soon to happen intervention into our own process, so we know how to come to some conclusions at the end of the evening on the 26th.
I think Commissioner Schneider, I think that's great input. I did have a similar question for National Demographics Corporation, which is, you know, we got 35 maps. How do we narrow that down? He says, well, we will give you kind of analysis. It will say, okay, these maps divide the city by, you know, in this way. And these are the strengths of these maps. These maps take a different approach. And Old Town is, so they will walk us, they will have done a lot of analysis on all of the maps and will walk us through what are the differences between the maps and the strengths and weaknesses in the way that they address some of the Fair Maps Act criteria, and also what communities of interest are or are not respected by the map. So they will be walking us through that at that meeting. And he said, oh, we're used to doing that. So
okay, that's very comforting, actually, and useful. And I'm very pleased to know that, because I think otherwise it's a cumbersome process for a meeting that's likely going to be on Zoom. And for us to actually try to come to some conclusions in a somewhat timely fashion. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
So,
any other questions? Ms. Uribe?
So just to recap, so they are going to give us that kind of information on how to look at the maps on that day, the same day at the meeting, or they will tell us that beforehand so we can have some time to look at the maps and kind of do whatever they tell us and understand exactly as they tell us if it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. I think they've been going over all along sort of the criteria that you'll use to evaluate maps are the same criteria that they're giving to people who are drawing maps. So, you know, you're going to want to look at, but I think I can ask them a little bit more about how that would work and if there's any, if there are any tools they can share before then with the commission to have you help you start thinking in that sort of an analytical, you know, evaluative mode. So I will talk to them about that.
Thank you. That will help us a lot that too.
Thank you, Ms. Oliva, for asking that. It's a great question. Any other questions, commissioners? All right. If not, Ms. Hoover, go ahead.
I just wanted to chime in really quickly and just say that I am excited that we will have a sense of urgency to tell the community about when we do get the numbers for census, and you can look for a lot of outreach from us. I'm also excited to hear about the number of maps that have been submitted. That's really, I think we should do some thanking the community for submitting their maps and use that as an encouragement to, you know, thank you to everyone who has, and we're so impressed, and now we want more, you know. I think that's a really good tactic as well. So I wanted to say those two things.
Thank you. Ms. Bliss, go ahead.
Hey, Kelly, along those same lines, I don't know if, I mean, I assume you're able to identify who submitted the maps, but I do wonder, so what I've noticed, which is not a lot, is that many of the people I know in the city of Goleta are a little bit like, what do I really have to offer relative to drawing boundaries? Or like, does this really matter? You know, like whatever happens, I'm just going to vote for my person or whatever. So there may be something for the people who submitted the maps, which again would tie into social media engagement and potentially production of videos, where maybe they tell us why they chose to submit a map, or like why they care about this process and like took the time. And maybe that would help more people understand like why it matters, and that even if they're not, you know, a demographer or whatever, they still would have valuable insight or input into the process.
Commissioner Bliss, I love that idea. You know, I love photos. I think we all love photos. So I was even envisioning maybe someone who has submitted a map, pulling up their map, a photo, a thank you, why they did it. That would be a great tool. The other reason we're doing the tutorial how to draw a map is for the many people out there, including myself, that would feel very intimidated to go online and figure out how to figure out that technology and how to draw a map. It sounds confusing to me. So that was really designed, and we are really excited to release this video next week to really let people sit at their computer while they watch the video, and they can do it themselves and have somebody walk them through it. So hopefully that will help as well. But I love the idea of doing a testimonial, photos, quotes, and really giving credit to those who've submitted maps already, if they would be willing to share why, and also use that to encourage others to do so and as well and to not be intimidated.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea as well.
Love it. Thank you.
Yes. Any other comments, questions?
Yeah, I just had, just following yes. on the discussion now and what was said, I think why it's important to me and Goleta is the best way to start approaching it, because with the things that are coming up, with the kids, with the school children and adapting to the school, those that are attending schools, I think it's going to start to hit people. The importance, the sense of urgency that Commissioner Bliss said. And I think approaching it that way with why it's important to me, why it's important to Goleta, why it's important for my kids, especially now with what has continued to happen in the past year and continue now, I think that's a good approach. I agree.
Thank you. All right, any last comments, questions? If not, thank you both.
Thank you so much.
Your presentation and information. Thank you. All right, we will now move to item C2 is selection of meeting dates for 2022. Ms. Hoover.
I was apologizing for this loud bang that I dropped, that she didn't hear it anyway, so I didn't need to apologize. So here we go. We have looked at the calendar for next year, and these are the dates that we have identified and solidified, if it's okay with the group. We are looking at Wednesdays, going back to Wednesdays, starting with January 26, 2022, April 20th, 2022, June 15th, 2022, August 17th, 2022, October 19th, 2022, and December 14th, 2022. If those dates are agreeable, or if anyone has a conflict, I guess I should ask that first.
Any comments, questions? Anyone want to make a motion to accept the dates for 2022?
Can I just ask a question, Kelly, because I only got the first one in my calendar. Are those specifically like the third or fourth Wednesday of every month, or is it a little bit more random than that?
Jamie Shaw is hopefully going to pop on right now. I believe they're the third yes. Wednesday of the month.
Yeah, commissioners, they're, with the exception of the January 26th, because we needed that specific we needed to give you guys a few weeks after the maps were received. So that's how that date was picked. And then we went back to the even months. So we skipped February. So we're starting up. Kelly, is that correct? The next one's in April?
Okay. Yes, that's correct.
So they're starting back on the third Wednesday of every even month, except for okay. December, because that one's too close to the holidays. So most of them are the third Wednesday, except for the January and December meetings.
Okay, cool. And then is it still starting at 6? Did you already say that? Okay, cool. So okay, thank you.
That is correct.
Do we have a motion to accept the dates?
I make a motion we accept the dates as provided.
Second.
Motion and a second. We need a roll call for this.
Yes, and I'll, hi everyone, I'll just add there's no public comment at this time, so we can move ahead with the roll call vote. Commissioner Massey?
Yes.
Commissioner Schneider?
Yes.
Commissioner Uribe?
Yes.
Commissioner Ibarra?
Yes.
Youth Commissioner Mannion?
Yes.
Vice Chair Bliss?
Yes.
And Chair Paz?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
We can move to item D, director's report.
Well, I have two exciting items for the director's report. One is I just wanted to acknowledge, I know we did a little bit, but just the fact that one of our commissioners was selected as a congressional from Congressman Carbajal as a woman of the year, a great accomplishment, and we're very proud of you. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And another something very noteworthy is it is Commissioner Mannion's last meeting with us. Vinesh has been on the Public Engagement Commission for 3 years as our youth commissioner. That's a long time. That's basically most of his high school. He just graduated from Dos Poblas High School. We're very proud of him. He did a lot while he was at DP. In addition to his service here on the Public Engagement Commission, he just represented us so well. He, just to give you an idea, he was with the Dos Poblas Engineering Academy. He was on the golf team. He was a leader at the Riptide Robotics, which was a local first tech challenge team. So he's been very involved, and I think he played a really important role on this commission. He definitely brought a perspective that we need, and really made sure that we were resonating with youth. And I just thought he was a really, really important part of this team. I'm sad to see him go. He will be moving on to UC Riverside, and he will be majoring in, if I can get this right, he will be majoring in materials science and engineering. So Vinesh, I think everyone here will agree your future is very bright, and I know you're excited about getting to move into UC Riverside and not be doing online school. So, but we are sad to see you go, and we just want to say thank you. And I didn't know if you wanted to have any parting words.
Well, I want to thank you all for like welcoming me onto this commission. It was like very, it was scary at first, but then I like learned a lot through you guys. So I want to thank you. And yeah, I really enjoyed my time here. I learned a lot. So hopefully I'll come back once I've graduated.
That would be great if you can come back to our community and continue to contribute. So that would be great. I personally wish you well in your studies and what you're going to do. And please visit. That would be great. But thank you so much for all that you have contributed during the time you were here with us. Thank you. Any other
thank
comments?
You.
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Oliva. If not, any other items, Ms. Hoover?
No, that will do it. Just best of luck to Vinesh.
That's right. All right. Any future agenda items? Yes, Ms. Bliss, sorry. Go ahead.
Hey, Kelly, I feel like I saw a posting on the City of Goleta website about a youth commissioner. So are you looking to replace Vinesh? Did you already say that? I swear I'm paying attention. I just wondered like what the process was there and if the person would come to the next meeting and how much interest there was, if you're able to share that.
Yes, I can tell you that there was an application period and that the appointment will be ratified. Maybe Mrs. Schmidt, if she's still with us, can say exactly the date, but it's an upcoming date. But I do know that we are expecting to have our new youth commissioner at the October 21st meeting.
Thanks, Kelly. Yes, and the date of the appointment will be the September 21st meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Good luck to Vinesh.
Yes, thank you. All right, any future agenda items? Go ahead. Ms. Hoover, you were going to say something?
I was just going to say, I think Mrs. Schmidt outlined that we'll be busy with district elections, and that will be the focus of our next several meetings. But other than that, we don't have any other agenda items unless there's anything that you all would like us to bring to you.
I don't. Anyone else has? All right. Hearing none, I want to adjourn us for today's meeting and look forward to seeing you all in October. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.